Women are changing hockey, and we're here to talk about it. This is Chell Chit Chat, and I'm your host, Liz Hood. Today's episode is going to be a very fun one, a very inspiring one, where I sit down with Jordan Dabney and talk about how to drive the change that you want to see in hockey. So many of us are the beneficiaries of other people's extremely hard work to make hockey more inclusive, but we all know damn well that that work is not done yet. When you feel empowered to make change, that's when we truly see the amazing things that the hockey community can do. So I hope this episode makes you feel inspired, makes you feel like you can do anything in hockey because you have the power to do so. I am so glad you're here for episode 8 with Joe Dabney. So without further ado, let's talk about how to drive the change that you want to see in hockey. Joe, welcome to episode 8 of season 1 of Chell Chit Chat. I am so psyched to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am amazing, and I'm doing better because I get to chat with you today. I am so excited about this episode of the show. This is one of the topics that was really important to me when I was planning out kind of the different concepts I wanted to talk about in this episode. Talking about being a driver for change was really important for me. And so when I was going through the different kind of ideas of guests that I could have and stuff like that, you really stuck out for me because you've done so much cool work in so many different areas. So I'm super excited to talk about all of that today. So just to get things started, it's pretty easy, simple, kind of like a job interview question. Who are you? Tell everyone a little bit about yourself and kind of what you do in hockey and why I kind of have you here on the show today.
I feel like I always have to start by saying I'm a self-taught artist because everyone gets so up in arms when they're like, oh, you don't have a degree, you don't have this and that. But I am a self-taught artist, and a lot of my work heavily plays on just the tiny little skills that I've picked up here and there. But I feel like it really does show that I'm a hockey fan, but I'm a baseball fan first and foremost. I really do need to state that fact. Baseball fan first and foremost.
I would have kept that to myself if I were you. Oh my goodness, come on.
Baseball really led the way to hockey. I feel like that's our meeting point here.
Okay.
Like if it weren't for baseball.
I can accept that. So you kind of teed yourself up there for that one. So how did you become a hockey fan? And sort of you said, you know, growing up, baseball was kind of priority number one. It sounds like it still is. But how did you kind of become super involved in the hockey community?
I feel like everyone has this answer. I've seen so many people say this, but I did watch the Mighty Ducks. I binged the movies and I was obsessed. I feel like it was like the first movie that I don't know. Have you ever watched a movie and you wanted to be in the movie? Literally happened for me. I watched it and I was like, wow, I need skates. I need to be in Minnesota. Never even been. Don't know what they do there except for hockey. But I was like, I need to be there. I need to do that.
That's
then I
incredible.
Asked my dad, like, maybe a week later, I was like, I need skates. Like, we need to make this happen. And he brushed me off. Like, a week after that, I found skates at a store, some random store, too, which, like, not even a sports store. And I was like, okay, enough signs. This is it. Like, I need to dive head first into hockey. And then it just kind of blossomed from there.
I love that. That's so fun. I feel like, you know, when we talk about exposure and representation and all those sorts of things, like just learning about stuff and being able to learn about sports and anything really is so important to be able to have that kind of accessibility. Because yeah, like the Mighty Ducks might seem like a silly movie to some people, but like it is the reason, you know, invisible string, butterfly effect, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, we're here today and talking about all these amazing things that you have done kind of in hockey. But before we get into kind of you mentioned self-taught artist, and if you, you know, you read the description of the episode, spoiler alert, I'm sure you know where we're going. But I want to talk a little bit about you first and kind of what I knew you as first and foremost, which was like a hockey Twitter icon. Like before I even knew that you had this like amazing professional portfolio, I just knew you as someone who was really fun to follow on the internet and had like fun takes and stuff like that on kind of sports. How did you sort of get started in, you know, for lack of better terms, the shit posting space of Twitter and you know, that you and I are both very, very present in?
I feel like it's so silly to say, but I genuinely just started an account because at the time, the 2019 Nationals were on like a really hot streak. And it was like, everyone keeps talking about what they're posting about, and what they're doing, and I'm out of the loop. I need to be in on the loop. I need to know. And then the Caps players, like during that summer, obviously they're not playing hockey. They kept showing up at games. And I'm like, oh my goodness, everyone keeps talking about things. I'm so out of the loop. I hate that. I get like intense FOMO. I need to be in on the joke. It's a really bad habit, but eventually it just, I feel so redundant saying it's blossoming into things, but one shit post after another, it kind of snowballed in a sense. Like, okay, one joke here turned into like nine jokes here and like 10 inside jokes that I've definitely lost the origin of. Really, I've kind of lost track of how it's just kind of built up into this thing.
That's so fun though. Okay, but wait, now I have a question. You said 2019. So does that mean that you missed peak Caps era when they won the Stanley Cup in 2018?
No, okay. So I made my account in 2019, but I've been a fan since I was like 12 or
Okay.
13. So since like 2014-ish. Everyone was talking about like summer hockey. Like, mind you, okay. The only hockey person I know is Steve Dangle, and that's because of YouTube. So I was like, oh my gosh, wow, these teams play in the summer. That seems like such a winter thing. So the first hockey game I ever watched for the Caps, it's their last regular season game of 2014. I'm like, oh, okay, this is fun. It was literally the last period, and then there were no more games, and I was so confused. So I was like, no
That was
summer
fun.
hockey?
Okay. Yeah,
No, like I was so confused. Like everyone keeps talking about the Caps are so good. The Caps have all these great players. Where did the summer hockey go? I was lost. I didn't know anything. And then I binged a bunch of Steve Dangle videos. And he might see this. And I'm gonna have to. I keep admitting to myself that I did not know that was not his name. I was like, oh my God, he was born this hockey world. Like that's so cool. It never once occurred to me that he just gave himself that name. Not once. So then,
that's
like,
so funny.
a couple years go by, and I'm like, wow, I should probably make some hockey friends. And that kind of took a really long time because, like, I don't know any hockey people. I know baseball friends. I have basketball friends. I don't know. I couldn't find like a good way to make hockey friends without admitting that I didn't grow up in the sport. And that seemed like really embarrassing to me. So I was like, I'm just okay with watching and not saying anything, which is the exact opposite of me now.
I was gonna say, so what was kind of the shift? Like, when did that change? Totally understand feeling that way. There's definitely, we can probably unpack that sometime later, in terms of how it feels really intimidating to admit that you don't know as much about one sport as another or something like that. Just because the sport that you do know about, you know how awful the fans can be and stuff like that. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be on the brunt of that. I don't want to be on the receiving end of that. So I'm just gonna like kind of keep to myself, which is not how it should be. And that's kind of the point of these types of conversations, is that that's not how it should be. But when did you sort of jump from kind of sitting still looking pretty with hockey fandom to actually becoming engaged and becoming part of communities online?
I think in June in 2020, I made this drawing of JT Brown, which I can confidently say started all of this and all of my work in hockey. And to me, like in the moment, I was like, this is just a silly little drawing. I was on my way to donate blood, I think. And I was like, okay, 20 minutes after, I'm gonna delete it. But then he saw it and was like, oh, okay, we're not deleting it now. And then he DM'd me and I was like, oh, we really can't delete it now.
Oh my
We've gone too
gosh.
far.
What did
I
he
feel like I
say?
broke the fourth wall. He said he really liked the drawing and then he donated money to Black Girl Hockey Club on my behalf. And I was like, wow, he's as cool as he is in my head.
Literally, oh
I
my
was
gosh.
freaking out too. Like I was on this like table where they take your blood and the phlebotomist, she was like, you have to calm down. Like we can't take your blood if your heart rate is this high. And I was like, I'm trying. You don't
JT
understand.
Brown is in
You
my
don't get
DMs. Just
it.
give me a
Like
sec.
you need to understand like what's happening right now. Like give me a few minutes. And she was like, no. Understandable, but like, come
Wait,
on.
so did you get to donate blood or no?
I did, but I had to wait
Okay.
an hour. I had to wait an hour. She was like, we're just gonna go ahead and you just come back. And I was like, that's fair.
Oh
That
my God.
yeah, that's fair.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. JT Brown is such a like one of those guys that I feel like genuinely like the more I learn about him, the more I like him, which is so rare in hockey. I feel
Yes.
like so many players are like
Which I feel like he kind of sets the bar really high. And I'm not just saying that because like we're cool in my head, we're bros. He really like embodies just like this really cool dude,
I agree with you, and I
which
don't know him at all, so vouch.
he's super chill. And I was super not chill about that moment.
No, I wouldn't be either. I will never be normal about this ever. I'm sorry, unfortunately. This is
There's
just kind
just
of.
certain things it's like you need to freak out about, so like later on you can be chill about. But in the moment, it's like, wow. It's also cooler when like they're the ones breaking the fourth wall.
Right.
Like
Well,
if
it's
I had
so.
did it, it would be like, oh man, like wow, never letting this down.
In terms of just kind of, these sorts of conversations that, you and I are having right now, and like these are the kinds of conversations that you and I have DM'd about, we've DM'd other people and stuff like that about. Do you have any like particular highlights or anything like that of just kind of existing in online hockey communities and spaces in terms of just like that sense of unity and anything that's ever made you feel like, wow, this was so worth it. I am so thankful for being here with these people.
I think my favorite hockey moment, which kind of doesn't really tie into anything specific, it came after the COVID season, maybe the start of the 2021, 2022 COVID season. My birthday's in December, and I'm like, I'm ready. I'm like mentally planning the game I'm going to go to. I'm looking up the stats. I'm like, what are the chances they're going to lose this game? I'm almost positive they were playing the Jets too. Only for the game to be canceled. And I'm like, oh, wow. They cancel my birthday game. Okay, convenient. And then I post, like, well, today was supposed to be my birthday game. Can everyone just, like, react like they're playing? Can everyone just post like they're playing? And so many people reply. And I was like, wow, okay, this is like the coolest moment ever. I think about that every single birthday now. It's a super tiny moment. It didn't really matter to anyone else, but it was like super fun to me.
That's so special. I love that. I don't know if I remembered seeing that or not, but that's really cute. I feel like it gives the same vibes as like, when like Anthony Beauvillier tweets hi at Anna Kendrick and everyone starts replying with the, oh my God, thank you for saving my
Like, thank you
dog
for
from a
saving
house
my dog
fire.
from the burning building.
No,
It's
exactly.
so funny.
When it comes to just kind of what you do like on Twitter and internet and stuff like that, like what are kind of some of your main passion points that you feel like your personal brand is sort of like anchored in and like sort of the core things that sort of drive you forward to continue to exist online?
I think what I kind of hold myself to, and not like aggressively, I want to say, but just kind of reminding myself that I need to stay humble in this mindset, is that the only reason I'm here, and this is from my perspective, of course, is that other people see the importance in having a very inclusive space. All the jerseys I've done, all the work I've done for other teams and brands have been rooted in inclusive spaces and inclusivity efforts, really going beyond what teams are doing or really adding to that. And I can confidently say I'm very loud about it on the internet, maybe make it to a point where it's hard to ignore, but really making myself uncomfortable and also possibly making other people uncomfortable by bringing up topics that should be discussed. There's always going to be like a topic that really needs, I don't want to say a spotlight because that makes it seem like it's only for a moment, but just bringing attention to something. And knowing that even if I don't know everything about it, but I could just highlight someone else that knows more, or even if I feel like I know a lot about it, that there will always be someone else who has a different experience and a different perspective. There's always going to be like someone else that's having a different experience on the opposing side. So I don't know, it's kind of just hard to move without focusing on why I'm doing it. Everything is always rooted in the why. It sounds a little silly, but the why is making sure everyone feels like they have a space, a safe space in sports. Mostly hockey, because at the moment it is mostly hockey. And this is a hockey podcast. I'm not gonna bring it back to baseball. But yeah, it's always about making sure everyone feels safe. Even if that means, and I can confidently say this again, that like I'm being a little too loud and making other people feel uncomfortable to an extent, like they don't want to talk about a certain topic. But like, I don't know. Maybe some conversations just need to be had with that sense of uncomfortable numbness, even.
No, 100%. Like, I think avoiding uncomfortable conversations is how we get stuck and how we avoid progress, right? Because, it's so easy to, I think, look at difficult conversations, look at difficult topics, and say, if I just leave that alone, it's just gonna stay there, and that's okay because it won't interfere with my life, whatever. But then you'll just stay where you are, right? And we won't see the progress that we need. We won't see the evolution that is required to, take specifically something like hockey to the next steps, right? Like every other sport, and we put a microscope on the sports that, you know, we care the most about and stuff like that. But I look at other sports and feel like hockey is lagging behind in a lot of areas. And I don't think that's necessarily entirely opinions based. I think it is fact based as well. You know, there are a lot of things that hockey still needs to do and they're continuing to do. And it's nice when we actually have tangible examples of that progress being made. So that's why I want to kind of shift towards now more into, you know, the topic of this episode is driving the change that you want to see in hockey. And I think you have such an interesting journey in terms of being a fan, being involved in the communities, and then also kind of working with the powers that be to actually make a change as well, which I think is a really important intersection. Not everyone has to do that, not everyone can do that, but it's so important that those who are kind of willing and able to bring something to the forefront of these conversations can really drive that change. And that's what you've been doing with some of these jerseys. So why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown on kind of some of the jerseys that you have designed for specific specialty events and community celebration nights and stuff like that for some of the teams that you've worked with, and kind of what that journey has looked like for you.
I think we should go in order, which okay. I feel like it's the safest option here. We're going to start with the Metropolitan Riveters. May they rest in peace. They were so loved. That, I feel like every job I've ever had has been connected to some game I've been to. It was obviously at this point, it was a Caps game. I was in New Jersey and I got this email from the Riveters, and no one at that point knew my full name, at least as far as I know. No one knew my full name. So when I got the email and it said Jordan and not Joe, I was like, oh, this is spam. This is not for me. So I let it sit there for a few days. I came back from the Jersey game. I was like, wow, the Caps are so great. The Caps are winning the cup. The usual delusional talk and telling myself to make myself feel better about whatever was happening. And I go back to the email and then I actually read it through and I'm like, oh, this is not spam. I let them sit in my inbox for days thinking it was spam. They sent a follow-up email and they were like, we want you to design a jersey. And I was like, oh, this is really, really not spam. That's like the only thing going through my head at this point. This is not spam. This is very serious. This is a really big deal. They were like really going into like how they want this to really open up the doors for inclusivity and really start a conversation in women's hockey, which I'm already passionate about. It's like, of course, I'd love to do this. What do you need from me? What ideas do you have? And they were just like, yeah, you have complete creative control, which like the magic words for any job. Creative control. It's like, it's so magical. So I sent all these ideas. The first conversations for any job, it's like, what do you have and what do you not want? But for this, it was just like, we have this vision. We kind of want to see how you bring it to life and then we'll go from there. So I had a few drafts for them. And I'm realizing now as I'm saying this that I did the process probably backwards from how most people do it. I had drafts. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, let me do research on the city. Let me do research on the team. Let me see what I don't know and like maybe what I could add. And I sent some drafts and then it was like silence on their end for maybe a week or two. And I was like, oh, okay, they really don't like it. They do not like my process. And I have to admit, like, it's not a very good process. Like, I'm critiquing it. I'm working on it. And then at the end of the second week, they were like, yeah, we love it. We've already sent it in. And I was like, oh
my gosh.
Oh, okay. Like, oh, wow. We're really speeding through this. Like, okay. Yeah. And I can't admit to myself that, like, I feel like it's maybe, it feels conceited to admit that it was like a big deal. And like so many people constantly say that they followed me because of that they really kept up with my work because of that one jersey. But like to me in January when they were like, oh, the day is coming. It's so exciting. We have your tickets. We have your badges for like the game to go like down on the ice level. And I was like, this is just a hockey game. Why is everyone taking this so seriously? Like it's, we're just going to watch a hockey game. Like they're going to be wearing something I've signed. It's not that big a deal. Only to get there and everyone was like really intense, not in a bad way, but just like very passionate about this jersey. And There were so many Black women there and so many people of color that just really cared about hockey. And I was like, I did not know this existed beyond the internet, like beyond my tiny, tiny little bubble. Because at the time, I only had not even 1,000 followers. Like, the people I knew in hockey didn't like the teams that I liked. So, like, we weren't really talking about teams. We were just talking about the sport. So I think this jersey just kind of opened up the door in the conversation for me personally about how many people truly do care about these things in hockey. They care about the things that I care about. And I don't know. I don't know why it never occurred to me beforehand, but that jersey really, in a very literal sense, altered my DNA. It was a very fun project. To this day, I feel like I can't say that it was the most serious job. It was very, a lot of behind the scenes things that maybe I just didn't know a lot about that I definitely take with me now in other jobs. Like, this is how it needs to be done. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm super serious freelancer. Like, I am very serious in my job. You have to take me seriously. Like, putting my full name at the end of emails, adding a heart, but like, it's my name there. I think that job was like, I don't want to say it was a very historical moment. I feel like that's very arrogant of me, but it is in the United by Hockey Mobile Museum. And every time someone sends me a picture, I'm like, wow, it's like a super tiny piece of history. Someone's holding with them that picture they're going to take with them forever. Even if they don't know I'm the one that designed it, they're just like holding that moment with them forever. It's very fun.
That is really special. And then how did they, you know, did they find you through just your Twitter account? Did you have like maybe a pinned post of some of your artwork before? Or did they find your portfolio? Or what was kind of the connection of not only were you like a designer who knew hockey, but like how they actually became aware of that?
I wish I could confidently say how I know that they reached out to me. Because at the time, the only commission I had ever done was the drawing I did of DT Brown. His wife, Dr. Lexi Brown, asked for it. And I was like, oh, of course. Like, do you want me to blow it up and do all these things? And she was like, no, you don't have to change anything. She wanted just how it was. I was like, okay, I need to make like a separate email from the one I've had since middle school. Like, obviously I'm not gonna give that one out to anyone. And I want to say maybe a few weeks after that, I reached out to Black Girl Hockey Club. They were looking for a few people to be on the board and have, and they're volunteer staff. And I was like, why not? I'm definitely like a shoot your shot person, even if I'm not qualified. I'm like, okay, let's see what happens. And I want to say that's where it came from, but I'm not even confident. I'm not sure. Like, at the time, the only art I had posted was like a few little doodles of players. There's nothing serious, nothing like, I'm a serious artist, you should definitely hire me. It was more of a, I have a pen and paper, and this is what I can do sometimes when I'm bored. But I want to say that it was definitely a life-changing moment. I should probably have asked how it came to that point where they were like, this is the artist we want, and it has to be you. I think I was more of like confused, like, why, instead of asking. I don't know.
Fair enough. Well, maybe it's one of those like things that like one day you'll find out, you're gonna like go to a hockey game or something and you're gonna run into Dr. Lexi Brown and she's gonna be like, oh, they asked JT if he knew anyone and we sent your name there. You know, you're gonna like find out something crazy or something, and it's gonna be a great story and you'll have to come back and tell us all about it.
I'm gonna have to ask her. I have a little homework wrapping it down. I'm gonna be like, Dr. Lexi Brown, did you refer me? Like, is that what happened?
So that was the Metropolitan Riveters, their Black History Month jersey, or what was the, like,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
It was cool. For Black History Month, but most teams, when they do a Black History Month event, it'll be, like, a specific night when it's a home game. And at first I was worried that it would be an away game. I don't know why it would be an away game. I don't know why that was my thought, but I was like, I don't want to go, like, way north, because I don't have a coat. And, like, sure, I live by snow. And maybe I should own a coat, but like that was my first thought. Like, man, I'm gonna have to buy a coat for one hockey game. That's crazy. And they were like, okay, yeah, you're gonna come to New Jersey. And I was like, oh, that makes more sense. Thank you for clarifying, because I was worried.
I have to ask the jersey. Yeah. Where did the photo of Braden Holtby wearing the Riveters jersey come from? Because I'm going to pull it up. If you're watching the video version, you're going to get a picture here. Because whenever I think of that jersey, I just think of you and Braden Holtby for sure.
On the day of the game, like when the jersey debuted, I just kept telling it. I was like, okay, this is cool. But imagine if Braden Holtby saw it. And I was like, okay, this is cool. But do you think Braden Holtby has seen it? Because at that point, I do believe he had deactivated his Twitter, but Brandi Holtby still had her Twitter. So I was like, there's a chance that they'll see it. I just kept saying that. And everyone was like, Joe, please be serious for 2 seconds. Like, please. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, there's a chance that Braden Holtby, like, 6 degrees of separation, we connect the dots. Like, he's definitely seen it. And we went to dinner after the game, and I was like, everyone was quiet. Like, the conversation had died down a bit. And I was like, you know, guys? And I could just tell that they could already see where I was going. I was like, I think Braden Holtby's seen the jersey. And everyone was like, oh my God, Joe, please, please. And then my friend, who at the time did social media for the Denver Nuggets, I love her. Hi, Juliana. We were talking a bit afterwards as we were leaving, and she was like, you know, I know some of the people for the Dallas Stars. Like, I could ask them. I did not know she was being serious. This is, again, one of those shoot your shot moments. I was like, yeah, please ask her. Like, tell Braden Holtby I'm his biggest fan. Again, just like not knowing she was being serious. And then the Avs, I'll say a week after that, they asked if they could have a jersey. I don't know why they asked me again. Like, I have no control over that.
Like, I
The
just work
Colorado
here. I don't
Avalanche
know.
were like, can we have a jersey? And I was like, I don't know. Can you? I have no idea. I guess they reached out to the Riveters, or maybe the Riveters saw the conversation because this was like all on the timeline. And they sent the Colorado Avalanche a jersey. And Andrei Burakovsky, who again, one of my favorite players, I feel like it's super biased, but every team that has a former Caps player, they're just my favorite. Automatic favorite. Like, we're locked
That's
in
like
with
that's
that.
normal though. Don't kid
Like,
yourself. That's normal. Don't worry.
obviously there's bias, but like, it's okay if I point it out. It's okay if I admit it to
Of
myself.
course.
They posted it and everyone was freaking out, and I completely missed it for like the first 2 hours because, as the person I am, I was watching Braden Holtby highlights. I was sitting
Classic.
there super casual. Like, of course, this is how I spend my day. This is how I wind down. And then I saw it and I was like, wow, wrong team. Terrible reaction. But I was like, wrong team. It should have been the Stars. They
That's
invited me
so
to a
funny.
game and I was like, it should have been the Stars the whole time. I want to say it was like even a week after the Berkey picture, I was in Denver. The Avs invited me to a game and I was like, wow. The whole time I'm thinking, it should have been Holtby. It should have been Holtby. Like, just trying to be super normal about it. Like, wow, it should have been Holtby. So on, I think I was there for like 3 days. On the second day, I get like this text and it's just Joe. And then I get two more texts from two different people and it's just Joe with like nine O's. And I'm like, what did I possibly do? The day just started. Like, I couldn't have done anything yet. Maybe later. Like, give me an hour. Like, let me warm up. But I couldn't have done anything yet. And then I get this notification on Twitter. So at the time, it's Twitter. Okay.
It's still Twitter in our
And I'm
house, don't
like,
worry.
it says the Dallas Stars, and it says we have a message from our friend. It's like, I didn't click on the notification yet because, again, I'm just like scrolling through all the texts that are yelling my name. Like, what could I have possibly done? And then I'm getting yelled at on Twitter, like, oh, the day just started. And I open it up, and it's Braden Holtby wearing the jersey that I designed. And I feel like, in a million different ways, I spoke it into life.
No, that is
Like, he
truly
doesn't even know.
manifestation. Like, that's actually
He doesn't
insane.
even know that I was like plotting on this. I was like, that man is gonna see my work. Like, that man just has to know that I'm his number one fan. He needs to know that. And it's so funny too, because I do know that video by heart. It's like 12 seconds. This little video, he's just saying like, hi, Joe. But it's funny because he's introducing himself like as if I wouldn't know, as if I don't know. It's so hilarious.
That's so funny. I have a 2016 video from Pierre-Luc Dubois. That's, I think, yeah, same thing. Like 11 seconds, and I'm like, famous forever, famous forever. There is nothing stronger than the bond between a girl and her emotional support, favorite sports player, athlete,
Exactly.
whatever.
It's
It's
stronger
unbelievable.
than blood. Like,
Truly.
thicker than blood. It goes beyond anything science can explain.
You just have to be there. You have to get it. The people who get it for sure. But the Riveters jersey is not the only one that you've done. You've done a few since then. So what are kind of some of the, what was the process of, did that just kind of launch you and then people were like, now knowing that you're part of some kind of Rolodex of people that can, you know, provide design or, you know, whether it be consultation, illustration, whatever, for specialty jerseys, or were you reached out to in kind of different ways, or how did it go after that?
It's a bit a mix of what you said. For some of them, it was more of, I'm definitely a very persistent person. There are certain teams that I was like, I need to work with that team. So I'm emailing, I'm thinking of ways that I know people that I can like introduce me to people.
That's
and then some of them, teams just have like open calls and I'm like, I mean, maybe I consider myself qualified. I should apply. For the teams that I've done jerseys with, it was a mix of those two. The Riveters, again, we need to do some research on how that came about. I'm going to do homework on that.
Yep.
But for the Otters and the Generals, it was a mix. So the Otters had this open call for a Black History Month jersey in, I want to say, September of 2022. And I had spent that whole summer not doing anything. I hadn't drawn, doodled, paint. I didn't craft anything. I just felt like I was in a really deep art block. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to draw something. I'm going to send it in. I've been watching cartoons with my brother all day. The drawing looks like it was inspired by the cartoons I was watching. I sent it in and they were like, yeah, we love it. I was not thinking that they were going to like it. I even put, so like they have this little submission to explain your design. And I explained it, not in great detail, because again, the process of the work I do is drawing and then research to critique and add to that. But at the end of my little description, I was like, I'm a huge fan of Andre Burakovsky and Dylan Strome. Dylan Strome's on the Caps now. I was like, that's my reason why you should have here. Like,
that's another crazy manifestation, because that's like, that's wacky.
I was like, that's so cool. Like, oh, former Erie Otters on the Caps. I don't know. It just seems perfect to me.
Connor McDavid next? Question mark?
Oh, definitely. We're speaking that into life. Spoilers, you should hit me up. But then they reached out to me and they were like, we just couldn't stop looking at your design. Like, it just really captured them. And I was like, the cartoon design? Because when they send emails back for like any team that I've done stuff with, the file will be attached at the bottom. But like, you know, when you send an email, it won't open up immediately. Mm-hmm. And I was so confused. It was like maybe 2 weeks later, I had completely forgotten what I even sent in. I was like, what could I have possibly sent that you were that drawn to? Maybe it's just me forgetting about it. Maybe it's just me not wanting to admit that I really deeply did want it. But I was like so confused. I was like, really? The one that was inspired by me watching Bluey? Like, oh, okay. that's surprising. Like, oh wow, we're doing anything here. I'm into it, but like, we're doing anything. And then for the Generals, I kind of piggybacked off of that. They had seen what I did for the Otters and they saw the sign and how well it was perceived by, they always say fans, but I know 90% of the time it's just my friends reacting. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's the same thing. It's like fans, friends, it's the same thing to me. They saw that and they were like, we want that for Black History Month, but instead of one night, we want to do it for the whole month. And the Otters had it for two nights, MLK Junior Day, and they had a Black History Night. Which, for, I know for non-NHL teams, their schedule is a little more stretched out. So I know that when they pick their nights for certain events, it's like very serious, like they're not moving it. So I was like, okay, they're going to do it a whole month. How's that going to work? And I had all these questions. And I was like, at first, I didn't want to do it. Like, I felt like I was putting myself in this box of only doing Black History Month jerseys and Black History Month designs. And like, it was very limiting. But then afterwards, I started doing research beforehand, before drawing this time. And I was like, wow, this team is really cool. Wow, this team has so many players that I'm like, wow, I am going to call myself out here. John Tavares has played for this team. Oh my God, I need to do this. Like, there was just so many things. I was like, okay, this, maybe I do believe in signs and this is what I need to do. And I will admit, like, during the process of trying to come up with a design, I try and get far away from the team and what they already have. I don't want my designs to look too closely related to what the team already has, but I also didn't want it to look too close to what the Otters had, because I know that's what made them want me for this design. I was like, okay, we're just gonna have to leave it alone for a couple weeks, which is when I got the shark e the email from the sharks. And they were like, we would like you to give us some drafts, because usually for NHL teams, when they have their process, because there have been a few that I've done drafts for but not actually come to life, they'll have you do drafts and they'll be like, this is the process of what we do. These are the colors from other teams, rival teams that you cannot use. These are
Oh,
the
interesting.
logos. It's so serious that it's kind of annoying for certain teams, because they'll have like a list of teams that they're rivals against. And I'm like, this is only two colors you can use. Like, so many teams hate you. You only have two colors. Like, we need to work on that. Like,
It's
let's
teal or
mend these
nothing for the
bridges.
San Jose Sharks,
Like,
sorry.
we need to work it out on the remix. We need to fix this. But they have these like list of colors you can't use from rival teams. They have list of defunct logos, retired lettering, retired fonts, all these things you can't use. But for the Sharks, they were like, you can make your own font, you can do your own things. You can bring in a different shark if you want to, which is kind of what I was wanted to do, because I really do like sharks. I was like, oh,
Katy Perry
this is
left shark
completely
for the Super
unrelated.
Bowl.
Like, oh, let's make it fun. Like, I think Katy Perry would love this. We should get her in on this. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do so much research on sharks, the city, and leave the team part out of it, because I feel like I was in a rut from trying to add so much of the generals into their design. So I was kind of like piggybacking off of that, and just like really, it was really a process that was happening simultaneously, which I wasn't telling either of them about, because I was like, I don't want them to think I'm procrastinating theirs, but really I'm just so conflicted. When I finished the Sharks design, I was like, oh, well, look at that. Now I have a design for the Generals. It just like hit me like a light bulb. And it bothered me
Okay.
because like they were waiting. I know they felt like they were waiting for so long on me. And I don't know. It really, to me, none of my designs look the same. Like, I want them to look like they're in one family, but not identical.
Right.
Sisters, not twins.
Like my
But
eyebrows,
I
I get it.
also, we want them to look like they're one cohesive party, everyone following a theme, but not everyone dressed the same costume from Amazon, if that
Right.
makes sense.
Absolutely. No, for sure. So with these jerseys, you know, if you're watching, you'll be able to see, we'll have some pictures and all that sort of fun stuff. What's kind of been the most fun part of it all for you? And like, how do you feel like this has motivated you to either, you know, continue as a hockey fan or do more design work? Or what is kind of the motivator of all this, and what's been the most fun part of everything?
At first, I definitely think I was motivated by just seeing all my favorite players in the jersey. I was like, wow, this is a great way to just see players making pictures and videos for me specifically. Like, I was very tunnel vision, single-minded with that.
I would
And
be too if
then,
Macklin Salvini was going to wear my jersey too. Like, don't even worry about it.
like, definitely winning the Calder, like, oh my goodness, he's going to be wearing something I designed. I don't know. Very biased. And then I want to say, 2 or 3 months after the Black Rosie jersey debuted for the Riveters, there were so many DMs and emails from people just talking about how they made Twitter accounts and they bought jerseys and shirts and all the hoodies and sweatshirts that the Riveters had for, I want to say it was only available for like 2 months, very limited time. So when all these people were emailing and DMing me saying that they made Twitter accounts and that they started watching hockey because they saw there were a few WNBA players that had the jersey, and it just made me feel like very overwhelmed, but in a good way, like other people were seeing my work and interpreting it differently than how I was. I was just seeing it as, wow, another thing to draw, another thing to do today. Like, wow, a task. Like, ugh. And then it kind of turned into this is something that's important to other people, so it should be important to me. This is something that really means a lot to other people, and I should stop beating around the bush and really sit with the feeling that it could mean a lot to me if I take myself just a little more seriously, just occasionally. And I think it just kind of grew into this, I don't want to say business. I feel like I kind of flirt with the very thin line between professional and fan all the time, but it really is very serious business when it comes to these initiatives that teams, they are putting money into these. Like, these jerseys cost money. So it's very serious when they invest in these games and these nights and these months. So it matters to other people. So it matters to me. Even if at first it only mattered because certain players were wearing it. But now it just matters because it's cool and other people enjoy it, which is a very small little island of people can admit that they enjoy when other people like their work. I know a lot of artists and a lot of people would just admit, like, well, if I like it, it's fine.
I do it for me.
I think,
yeah.
Like, it's a passion project. And I think you can be passionate about things that other people enjoy. I enjoy when other people enjoy my work. I enjoy that people enjoy seeing my effort and my literal tears going into something I worked really hard on. I feel like it's very vulnerable to admit that I do feel very overwhelmed on the day of, and sometimes even the day after a jersey or any project, like even just like a shirt for Pride Month or just a logo for anything. It's very intense knowing that other people could just criticize it and not take it seriously, but it's also very humbling that so many people do enjoy it and very few people see it as something that's just like a clout chasing thing. It's definitely not about that. It's, or at least it's not about that to me.
No, for sure. And I think it's unrealistic when you think of humans to think that, you know, when you are first starting something or you're brand new to something, that you're going to have a complete grasp of the full impact that it's going to have. So yeah, maybe when you get started with something, and, you know, take this as advice for people who are listening, if you get started because you just really like certain players or because you just really want to find a way to be involved in something, like, now that I'm a little bit more involved and stuff like that, I understand the greater impact, and I can understand that, you know, what I do can inspire other people and all these sorts of things. But how are you supposed to know that when you're first starting, right? So, you know, just saying that the reason this was cool to you at first is because your favorite hockey player has got to wear your jersey, of course, that's so cool. But it takes a strong person to, I think, recognize that it can grow to bigger than that, and you can sort of take that and empower yourself to continue to grow as well. So I give you a lot of credit for that, and I think it's amazing to see the progress of the designs that you've done and how these jerseys are continuing to be priorities for hockey clubs kind of across North America. So to wrap up this conversation a little bit, what do you think is the most important part of jerseys like these Black History Month celebration jerseys and other specialty jerseys that celebrate different communities? Why do you think they have so much impact? And what do you think, obviously, there will always be kind of the Twitter trolls and stuff like that, who, when there are specialty nights, have their not so nice things to say about it, but then we see the residual impact of how much good comes from them. Why do you think it's so important to have projects like this for hockey teams?
I think it's so important because, like I stated before, the jerseys do cost money. So the teams are already putting at the back of their mind, like, we're willing to invest in these communities to really say that we see you. We see the Asian American fans who come out to games and they want to celebrate Lunar New Year. We see the Black fans who want to celebrate Black History Month, and on and on. Like, you're really stating that you see these fans, even if the amount of fans don't equal up to what you think might be a reasonable number. Like, no one can say it's tens of thousands for each fan base. Obviously, different teams have different demographics, but simply stating that you see those different communities as a real reason to invest into your own fan base, you see them as good enough to invest in, says so much. The designs coming from, admittedly, I'm not a local fan for most of the teams that I do stuff with, which is why I take so much pride in doing research, but taking the time to really find local fans and local artists who are willing to sit with you and take the time to design these beautiful jerseys, they're always so beautiful, is more than enough for a start, more than a first start. Because it doesn't just start and end with the jersey. Most jerseys are auctioned off, whether they're game worn or signed, they're auctioned off, and that money does go to charity. But it says so much that they're willing to make a start by simply making something for these communities.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that acknowledgement is a great building block. But like you said, there is still a lot more that, you know, we can do. What do you think the next steps are for in terms of, you know, whether it's making more jerseys and more foundational building blocks to talk about more communities that are represented in the communities that hockey teams exist in, that they live in? Or is it taking things to the next level, getting more involved in the community outside of just jerseys? What do you think is next for not just hockey teams, but as well as hockey fans for bridging the gap that exists right now for inclusivity in hockey?
I think the next step should always just be investing in your own community. And I think a lot of people hear that and they hear the word invest. They're like, well, I don't have any money to give. But simply being present in your community, going to local beer hockey games, local roller rink games, just your outdoor rinks. I know a lot of communities have like the concrete outdoor rinks instead of the, I want to say they're kind of like rubberish. But just going out, maybe you're teaching your neighborhood kids how to play. There's so many things that just help strengthen your community and help bring awareness. Like, your team goes beyond the arena doors. Like, it doesn't just start and end when fans come to your arena. It doesn't just start and end when you have a special jersey night or a special artist or someone come out. Like, it's not just a moment for social media. It's not just a moment for money. You really care about these people and how they impact your team and your fan base. Like, so many fans will never have a moment to actually be at a game. So imagine how much fun they would have just being like outside at an outdoor community event with their favorite players.
No, I couldn't agree more. In terms of just kind of wrapping up the conversation here, you have such an interesting journey in terms of being a hockey fan, seeing that there is change to be made in hockey, and using your skills and abilities to drive that change. Is just, obviously it's not that linear, like a three-step journey there, but it's amazing to see that a lot of us do feel like hockey is bigger than us, because it is. But, you know, we are all cogs in the machine that is the hockey community, and we have the power to make the change when we are driven by it. What is one piece of kind of advice, maybe an insight, a key takeaway you would give to people listening to this episode if you're sitting at home and saying, I'm so passionate about something that I want to see in hockey. I want this change to happen. I want to see this grow. I want to see this stop. How can people drive that change, the change that they want to see? That's a famous quote, obviously, to be the change that you want to see. But what is kind of your piece of advice for people that want to move from intention to action?
I think the easiest, which might seem like the scariest way to be the change that you want to see, is to just let the fear motivate you. So many times I've seen something and I'm like, I should not do this. This is so crazy. I'm so scared of what could happen or what people will think. And then I just do it anyway, because I'd rather sit with the regret instead of the tiny little discomfort in my stomach of not doing it. There's so many conversations and so many people you can meet when you just embrace that feeling of discomfort, embrace that feeling of what will people say or what will people think, because most of the time people are just thinking it and maybe they'll just be civil with you. But really embracing what could be, like, the what ifs are always, what if something bad happens, what if something horrible happens, but there could be what ifs that are good too. There are so many results, so many passions that you don't realize you have and don't realize you could pursue until you just really embrace the fear of what could go well. Get out of your own mind.
Truer words have never been spoken by our true manifestation queen. Joe, thank you so much for joining us today for this episode. This has been so much fun. I had an amazing time kind of talking about all these different things with you. It's always a pleasure to get to talk to you about your ongoing projects, and I know that we haven't seen the end of them and what you're doing here in hockey. Thank you so much for joining me. For those of you who are listening, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 8 of our first season here of Chill Chit Chat. Make sure you hit all those positive things on your way out, whether you're watching a video, like and subscribe. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give us a positive rating, follow it, so you make sure you never miss any episodes of Chill Chit Chat. I will see you all next time for episode 9. Joe, thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we will see you all next time. Take care.